Welcome to this time of refreshing. This is a radio message that was preached from the platform of Kingdom Word Ministries by Pastor Banky.
Let's read again from the book of Romans chapter 12. I'll go down to verse 4. It says, "For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. And since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let each exercise them accordingly." And he listed examples of those. There's prophecy, there's service, there's teaching, there is exhortation, there is giving, there is leadership, and there's what he calls the showing of mercy. And if I may just add to it, this is not an exhaustive list. I believe that Paul gave this one to us as examples of different aspects of life in which we are called to function. And you remember what we've been saying, that if we are living, we are using up spiritual energy. The Lord Jesus used the word occupying ground in Luke chapter 13 that we're looking at. And for that reason, he said if we are occupying ground, we must have fruit. We said fruit is in two dimensions. There's a moral fruit in which your life must be reflecting the character of God more and more every day. And then there is the output that you have in life depending upon the calling that God has for you. And we said that our major assignment is to establish God's righteousness everywhere. That it's not only if we are preachers that we are working for God, that he died for all, that all those who live will no longer live for themselves, but live for the one who died and rose again on their behalf. So the nurse is serving God, the doctor is serving God, the teacher is serving God, the pupil is serving God. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, that's a matter of fact. The pastor is serving God, all right, just as much as the man who is giving to the ministry is serving God. The man who is a governor is serving God, and the man who is campaigning to be a senator is supposed to be doing that also as a service to the Lord. And we now say that we will be checked as we identify and we prove faithful in whatever be the main ministry that God has called us to in life. And last time we began to explain how how one may discover his own area of specialization. We have discovered that there are different areas and all of them equally, all right? We are serving God in them, and we said that our job is to establish righteousness, and the number one way by which we establish righteousness is to be an example of that righteousness, all right? And so people want to know, where do I go and I establish my righteousness, that is the righteousness of God? What is my calling? In what area am I supposed to function and therefore fulfill the call of God for my life? And that's what we began to look at last time. And we read from this Romans chapter 12 just to show that there are different areas. And there are a number of keywords we began to see. We saw the expression, the measure of faith in verse 3 of Romans chapter 12. And we also saw the word grace given to us in verse 6 of that Romans chapter 12. And I said that when we talk about the word grace, it talks about the power, all right, to perform. Grace describes God's ability that is resident inside us that makes it easy for us to perform. And I say a measure of faith is a confidence with which I do that performing. Do you understand my point? Sometimes I see, there are times I see musicians. I said to myself, maybe singers, and maybe watching somebody on TV. I said, they know they get sore throat. You know that kind of thing. you think about it that these people, won't they have sore throat, safe the way they are going about it, and they will book shows ahead. It doesn't even cross people's mind that what if they have a sore throat? How will they perform? Do you understand my point? Listen to me. That's what the Bible calls grace, and that's what it calls a measure of faith. Do you understand my point? There are times people stand in front of the congregations and they are talking without anything prepared. It's called grace, and it's called what? A measure of faith. I said something last time that everybody has one. Everybody has one. It may not be glorious yet, but there is one particular place where you have that degree of grace that other people don't have there, but they have it somewhere else. Very important. We said that, all right? But I also said that now, and I want to continue from this particular point, that one major way by which we know our assignment from God, all right, is by that which is also just thrust upon us. The example I gave is that of David. David was not called by prophetic word to be a shepherd. He only got the prophetic word when he was to step into the final phase of his ministry, which is that of being a king. Now, having made that statement, let me quickly connect from there. And that's the fact that life has phases, all right? Life has phases. I said last time that people sometimes get caught up in this issue of has God spoken that I will be a prophet? Or has God spoken, you know, as Christians, want to know whether God spoke that this is my ministry? All right? I said, let's forget the issue of hearing voices. Let's just do that which is what? Right. That's the primary thing. Let's learn to do that which is right. Because we must understand this. Life has what? Phases. David may have started out as a shepherd, but he did not end up as a shepherd. There are those who started as shepherds and ended up as shepherds, but bigger shepherds. Are you getting my point? Yes. For example, Abraham was a businessman. He was not living his life trying to operate faith. I hope you get my point. Don't think he was called to come and operate faith. Everybody is called to operate faith. Amen? Yes. I read the scriptures. The man was a businessman. He was building what would be today, you know, business empires. When he was going to attack the kings, all right, that had taken Lot with the captives they took from Sodom and Gomorrah and the neighboring towns, all right, he took servants that were in his household. These people were working for him. You get my point? Now, so David may have started out in one area and gone somewhere. There are people who started in that area and just moved into bigger dimensions in that area. Another good example we see from the scriptures is Joseph. Joseph, there was no time, all right, that somebody used a prophetic word to push Joseph somewhere. He said, what about his dreams? His dreams had no... You see, that's how dreams are. Dreams are often difficult to interpret until they happen. Are you getting my point? If you go and read the scriptures, he will tell you that he might be fulfilled that which was spoken, that he might be fulfilled that which was written. Listen, dreams and things like that are often difficult to interpret until they have happened. All right? And if you asked Joseph then to interpret his own dream, he would have thought it was at home. What I'm going to emphasize, you find out that what happened to him was that he was placed in certain places. And wherever he went, he proved diligent. When he found himself as a slave in the house of Potiphar, he did not go there and say, you know, not thief, then thief me, come send me for hell. That kind of thing. What's my own? You know, what do you concern me? You know, that kind of what do you concern me attitude. It's not my father's property. After I'm a slave, if anything happened, I won't inherit any property in this house. May I just want to go back to my father's house? No. It was not in Joseph to be like that. All right? He just came out and did what he knew how to do, which was to be diligent. Even when he found himself as a prisoner. And please don't forget, in both circumstances, he got there unjustly. Are you getting my point? When he became a slave, it was conspiracy, sibling rivalry, whatever you want to call it. People did him bad, they stabbed him in the back. I mean, it was wrong. He adjusted to that, then he went down to prison. But you see, because the character of faithfulness was in him. Are you getting my point? So let me just say this again. A lot of us as Christians, we still try to manipulate God. And that's why we ask too many questions. Which one is my ministry? So that we can start working towards advancing it and becoming big in it. Are you getting my point? Yes, that's part of the problem. If I know my ministry is to be an international evangelist, let me start practicing how to preach now. Do you follow my point? That's part of the problem. That's why we don't know how to give without attaching something to it. Because when you want to drop that money, say, God, this money, you're taking like that. Which you will give me back. You understand? It's part of our souls. It's just there. We don't know how to practice godliness with contentment. But for Joseph, no. Faithfulness was part of him. Are you getting my point? So whether he was getting something out of it or not, he just had to be faithful. He wasn't thinking, listen, he wasn't doing the faithfulness from my understanding of the scriptures because of what he would get. Faithfulness was just in him. And if you go and read the story of David also, I don't think he was going around bragging. Say, boys, heal me now, I kill lion. No. The gist of who killed lion, who killed bear, all right? Who killed the lion or who killed the bear came up only when he had to use it as evidence that he could take Goliath. That's one thing about faithfulness. You don't use faithfulness to earn bragging rights, either with man or with God. You know what I'm emphasizing? When we're asking, where do I establish righteousness for God? Where do I walk and say this is my ministry? A lot of people spend all night praying, God, you revealed to me 2012, the year of revelation of ministry. It's a nonsense and useless prayer. It's not necessary. What am I doing now? That is where I'm working for God. And I was saying earlier that life is in phases. Life has seasons. Being a student is unto the Lord. There's a season. So you must ask yourself, what is righteousness in tutelage? I mean, what is righteousness in being a student? There is a righteousness in it. Are you getting my point? Going to class on time, it's not whether I like it or not. It's a service unto God. Studying so that I will know, not pass. I tell students, don't study to pass. Study to learn so that you might know. It's righteousness unto God. It's a service unto him. You are following the point I'm making? Yes, it is. If you see it like that, you see, that's why the Bible says the law came by Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. Thou shall not cheat is for those who do understand this. Are you getting my point? Thou shall not cheat in an exam is for those who do understand this. For those who know that being a student is a ministry unto the Lord for that season, you don't have to preach to them, thou shall not cheat. They will just say, how can I do this and sin against God? The lecturer doesn't have to invigilate them. It's not about, go and do your assignment. Are you sure you're not going to plagiarize, download from the internet? They can't do it. Are you getting my point? They can't do it. Because they are doing this studentship, you follow what I'm saying? As unto the Lord, it is the ministry for the moment. Being a youth copper is unto the Lord. This government is just using people and not paying them anything. Anybody that has been used is useful. You hear what I said? Anybody that has been used is what? Is useful. And let me pray for you and prophesy. May you not be useless in Jesus' name. Many people are there shouting, please make me useless. Make me. Why? How do I know? Because they are just using you. Yes, if you have never been used, you are a useless person. You are getting the principle here. What I'm just finding myself focusing on is that, life is in phases. And the earlier phases of life, your ultimate calling is irrelevant. That is the knowledge of it. It's irrelevant. I've heard people say before that, if I knew I was going to be a preacher, I wouldn't have bothered to study the engineering I studied. I wouldn't have bothered to study the accounting I studied. I wouldn't have bothered to do this one. I would have just gone to a theological seminary. That is why you would not have done the job well. I look back over my life. I was talking to my children the other day. My little 9-year-old was discussing, I'm going to be this, I'm going to be that. I want to be this. We're just discussing, he, my wife, and I. At the point I said, listen, my friend, forget it. You don't know what you're going to be. I will tell you what you're going to be later. Don't worry about it. So don't worry about it. You are too young to know what you are going to be. At the age of 9, what do you know about life? It is possible the Holy Spirit spoke to you, but I can tell you I'm his father. Holy Spirit has said nothing to this guy yet. It's just from watching TV, seeing people. Today he wants to be a doctor because his father is a doctor. Tomorrow he wants to be a pastor, his father is a pastor. You get my point? The following day you want to be this because your mother is this, because your uncle is this, your grandfather is this. You keep on depending on what is exciting you at that moment. So I said simply, don't worry about it. Sufficient unto the day is the arithmetic, geography, integrated science. Sufficient unto the day are those problems thereof. Do you understand what I'm saying? What you will be is irrelevant now. And as a Christian also, that's how life is. If you know it, fine. This God spoke to me. God spoke to me and said, has become a problem for a lot of people. They are waiting. A man, I said something last time, that what is my ministry is not a question for an idle man. An idle woman too. There's nothing that they say, what is my ministry? But I was praying that day, the Lord began to reveal to me that my ministry is that of a minstrel. And therefore, I'm trying to get some money to buy a violin and listen, go and join church choir. When you get there, you will find out whether you're a minstrel or a mystic. Do you understand my point? It will be clear. There's no point looking for money to buy a violin. I tell people that raising money too much, these days Christians are very cheap now. When I say very cheap, we don't have to reason anymore because we've learned from our churches how to beg. Yes. A lot of times students come to me with envelope. I'm tired. It's not to give them money that's my problem. I'm I feel sad. They are begging attitude. They don't think anymore. Because a lot of people have learned that culture. You understand? So my ministry is down to the ministry. So they're looking for money. I tell people that anybody looking for money to start a business is not called to business. Let me say it again. If you are looking for money, begging for money to start a business, you are not called to that business. Forget it. The story I told last time of Henry Ford. He said he swore that I won't borrow money from anybody. I will manufacture my cars one at a time. The first car he made with his own hands in his garage and sold it. And made the next one with his own hands in his garage and sold it. Anybody looking for money to start business, you are not called to that business. Don't worry. You are not. If you want to do business, whatever you have now, use it. I remember the story of Eladiro Toye. Many of you will know him. He said when he started his own consultancy business, the first job he wanted to do for somebody, after the negotiated price, the person agreed to his terms. He did not have a computer. He did not have an office. His house was his office. So what did he do? Simple. He offered the man a discount. See, this job, now we have agreed on a certain amount. I can give you a 10% or 15% or 20%. I don't know the amount. Discount on it. And the man was like, wait. We went through all this argument to arrive at this price. Now you're offering me a discount. Tell me more. He said, the discount is that I'll do the work for you. You'll get a discount if I'll do it for you in your office using your computer. Some people will go from one place to the other, raising money to buy a computer. By the time they finish with that business, they are owing on the computer, owing the people they borrowed money from. At the end of the day, the business makes nothing. Because it was so easy to beg. Are you getting my point? For that reason, they did not tap into divine wisdom. Just by the way, to help people, a lot of people are doing business. And business is life, amen? That's business, that's life. Business is life, all right? You want to borrow money to go and supply a trailer load of cement, and you have never sold block before or sand. You want to borrow money because your uncle promised you that he will get you an LPO to supply a trailer load of cement. Listen to me. A bag of cement is 50 kg. Imagine the weight of a trailer load. When it hangs on your neck, you will feel sorry for yourself. I said, business people, the business you have never done before, please, don't try it unless you are there to go and learn it. And nobody learns cement selling with a whole trailer load. You know, something can go wrong somewhere. Now you are stuck with a trailer load of cement that will soon turn to igneous rock if you don't do something with it in a short while. One day, a friend of mine, a friend was doing construction. So he said, let me supply you guys something. And the guy said, okay, we'll buy iron rod. And told him the amount of rod they will buy. And the guy said, fine, bring it, we'll pay. By the time he sat down and did the calculations, he saw the profit margin was narrow. So he forgot the idea. I remember the profit margin. I told my wife, that amount of money on the number of millions, all right, seems narrow to him only because he's not in that business. I said, those who are in that business, that is good. They do it every day. At the end of 6 months, they are more than triple their money. And for them, one simple setback cannot throw them down. But for you that wants to rush in and rush out, a simple setback, you will pay for the next 3 years. Your labor, like the Bible says, will be found in the house of another man. You don't want that. Do you get my point? You know, I went into that trend to explain that people, when people suddenly have this idea that if I know this, I will start pursuing that. No. God, each season, gives you something to do. He says, occupy with this until I come. Occupy with this until I come. Stop trying to have the knowledge of what tomorrow will be. I can't remember. You know, people have dreams. Before you were born, I called you, I knew you, I wanted to be a prophet. Jeremiah, the Lord told him that. And I've seen people modern day, Maurice Cerullo, Kenneth Hagin, many of them that have had visions like that. But you know what I keep hearing? What I say to one, I say to all. What I discovered was the grace to preach and the faith to mount the pulpit. That is what I found out. Are you getting my point? That's what I found out. There was nothing like, one night I just woke up. Oh, Wanky. Have I woken you up? Yes, my Lord. I'm awake. All right, fine. Now you are going to preach the gospel. You know why he didn't bother? He knew I would do it. Most people that God needed to speak to like that, go and check it. It was with complaining they answered. You know I am but a youth. Sometimes what we think is a mark of spirituality is actually a mark of stubbornness. That God said, if I don't appear to him now, he won't do anything. No. So send angel. Yeah, everybody, search out, blub, 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 around his house. Hey, when he wakes up, I'm the Lord thy God, I have called thee. If the man was less stubborn, he probably would have found it unnecessary, all right, to use those kind of dramatic manifestations to push him into what he wants him to do. What am I saying? Let's stop waiting for dramatic manifestations. Let's learn the principle of faithfulness, number one. The principle of occupying with whatever we have been given at a particular point in time. Are you getting my point? God knows I gave you this, so I will mark you based on it. I said before, a lot of people not understanding this, they will run away from the work that God gave them and they will run to church. Many have run away from the assignment that God is marking them by and they have gone to places which they think is their calling. You know, that's the time somebody said that maybe I'm called to be a minstrel. Start looking for money to buy violin. God says, simple. You think you're a minstrel? Go and join choir. And if you get to the choir and they kick you out, you're not a minstrel. And peradventure you still think you are, wait, in due season, it will manifest. Do you follow the point I'm making? What am I saying? Whatever your hand finds to do, a good work, a righteous work, do it first of all with all your might, and you will discover the will of God eventually. God does not talk often to people. Don't let anybody go around harassing you. God spoke to me, God did not speak to me. And you start feeling inferior spiritually. You know, there are people who go home, God, waiting now. We quarrel. What? I was in church last time. Pastor said you were speaking to him this morning. And my friend came to see me and said, he's traveling. Why? I said, when I woke up, the Holy Spirit began to tell me to travel. Now let me know they talk to waiting. You follow my point? But let me give you the good answer. God doesn't talk like that all the time. That is the correct answer. That's why you haven't heard. And it is not necessary. Until you exhaust obeying all the ones that are manifested, it is not necessary. It is not necessary. All the ones he has given you, the ones he has taught you, have not finished obeying them. So he is not going to say anything more just yet. Life is in phases. All right? Life has stages. And you are in this stage now, doesn't mean that's the last place where you are going to be. Just prove to be faithful. You know, my wife and I the other day were reading the scriptures. And we talked about when Elisha died. And if you remember, what happened when Elisha died was that, that's in 2 Kings chapter 13. When Elisha was going to die, was an old man then. When I studied around, I found the man was quite old. He sent for the king of Israel, Joash. And Joash came, and had, you can read the story from 2 Kings chapter 13. You begin from verse 14, and you read there down to verse 20, where he died. Now, in that portion, you see, he told Joash to do some things, like to shoot an arrow into the ground, and Joash did that. And then, and after they take some arrows, that in verse 18, and it said, strike the ground, and he struck it 3 times and stopped. So the man of God, verse 19, the Bible says, was angry with him and said, you should have struck 5 or 6 times, then you would have struck Aram until you would have destroyed it. But now you shall strike Aram or Syria only 3 times. Now this is the point. When he first shot an arrow, you go and read the story, please. I don't have time for it. Each of the things he did, all right, each one of them was prophetic. It was describing his victory that he was going to have over Aram or Syria. So my wife asked the question, say, why did he stop at the 3rd time when he said strike the ground, all right? He stopped after striking it 3 times. So we now began to have a discussion that the man didn't know it was prophetic. Are you getting my point? He did not know that the number of times he will strike will indicate the number of times he will defeat Aram. Now, and Elisha said in effect that if he had struck 5 or 6 times, let me add my own, or maybe a 7th time, then he would have destroyed them completely. But because he struck only 3 times, he destroyed them 3 times, he defeated them 3 times, and they recovered. So the question was, how would he have known? So that's where I'm going to. So we're not saying that, well, I said that maybe it was a manifestation of the Spirit that could only defeat them 3 times. Or is it that that's the amount of zeal he has? Do you understand? So it didn't strike more than three times. So it shows that his zeal was not enough. We're just discussing different things. Then my wife now says something, which is what I want to say. He said, well, maybe what you should have done is when they say strike, just keep striking until they say stop. That's where I'm going. She said that, well, maybe what the guy should have done is when they say strike, just keep striking and continue the discussion and be striking until they say stop. Because the man says start. He did not say stop. I said, that is true. That is true. That makes sense. That way, you can never miss it. Strike the ground. You just keep striking. You just keep striking. What am I saying? If God puts in a particular place, be faithful. Be faithful continually. Don't get tired. Don't wake up one day and say, now I'm due for my breakthrough. That is not your decision, all right, to make. Do you get my point? It is not your decision to make at all. He said, occupy until I come. I'm not going to give you a date. Occupy until I come. I won't tell you exactly when I'm going to show up. Occupy until I come. If I take 100 years, just keep occupying. It's not, I'm due for my breakthrough, okay? I don't try. Who told you? You don't know. You are not the Lord. You are the servant. Are you getting my point? You have been given an assignment. Strike. So keep striking until I come back. You are following what I'm going to explain. So wherever you are now, you see, let me tell you something. God is alive. Did I hear an amen? Amen. He is fully alive. He does not sleep. He does not slumber. He knows where you are. And like I say all the time, your blessing has a name. It can't go to somebody else. Somebody can't tell you that if only you had gone to Lagos last week, you would have gotten this job. If I did not come to Lagos last week, it is because the job is not mine. Simple. And if I come to Lagos late by a week, the job is not so much in a hurry that it cannot wait for 1 week. It will wait if it is mine. Are you getting my point? So there's no need. The Bible says, he that believes does not make haste. That's why people start looking for gimmicks. Like a friend of mine, a pastor somewhere in the East here, he says that people told him, I can show you how to grow your church. God did not send you to grow a church. God sent you to preach the gospel. Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered. God gave the increase. The increase in the number is not your assignment. It is the dedication to preaching that is the assignment. Do you understand what I'm going to explain? The increase in the number is not the assignment. It's the dedication to preaching, because he said, occupy until I come. Keep striking. He said, I have preached, you know, we come with all kinds of mathematics. 7 is the number of completion of preaching. I have preached 7 years now. Or I have preached 7 major topics, and I am sure that's the number of settlement. Or it is the year 2012, so 12 is the number of apostolic establishment. So now that I have preached until the year, listen, all those spiritual or Gibran spiritual geometry, it is simply to make you and me feel happy. Just by the way, it's just for us to feel happy. Do you follow my point? Stop using mathematics to get yourself out of the current place where God has placed you. He said, keep striking. That is, instead of saying, I preached 7 messages, preach the 8th one. Like my wife interpreted, preach the 9th one. Until the prophet shows up and says, stop preaching. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain? Just keep preaching. Just keep preaching. Just keep preaching. That's the way it is. If you are doing business, keep investing, keep expanding. Don't say, now I have done enough business. Now time to enter into politics. You have not done enough business. Let me just tell you. Because there are people making... No, I told you, Bill Gates in 1 year was paid $4 billion in dividends. That's one company. That, forget it, it's not his money I'm talking about. I'm thinking of the turnover. You keep striking until the prophet says stop. You keep striking until he says stop. Are you getting my point? I was saying that God is not asleep. In due season, he will show up. In due season, he what? He will show up. David did not arrange the arrival of Samuel. Samuel by himself got up and then he arrived. I hope you've gotten the point.
You have just listened to a radio message by Pastor Banky. More of this and other messages are available from our website, kwm.com.ng or pastorbanky.org. To contact us, especially to let us know how much this has been a blessing to you, please write us at radiosermons@gmail.com. or pastor@kwm.com.ng. Do not forget to do your part in spreading the kingdom of God by sharing this message with someone else. Thank you for listening, and may the fruit of this word blossom in your life.